Welcome to the Daily Objective, day 175 of the war in Israel. We hear about Israel, especially in Western media. We hear mostly criticism, almost only criticism. Even in Israel, the Israeli media is becoming more and more critical. And it's very much criticism of what Israel is supposedly doing wrong to the Palestinians. Now, there are many questions that this presupposes, and we're not going to answer the vast majority of them. But questions that people should ask, and if any of our viewers haven't asked, even if you agree with what we say, we encourage you to do so. Questions about, like, basic questions about the nature of government, which, by the way, a good place to start with is Ayn Rand's essay, The Nature of Government, and Man's Rights, which also is kind of. They go together very well. The Nature of Government, the link is in the chat. But first of all, do you need a government? Is that a necessary thing? And we both agree with Rand's answer that yes, we do need government. And then there's questions, what do we need it for? So do we need it to feed us, to house us, to make sure roads are built between where we are and where we want to go, to make sure that nobody has what politicians deem an unfair advantage in the marketplace, or so on. And it seems that there's a consensus around all the wrong things, certainly what we would think are the wrong things, and against government doing the one thing that we would like it to do, which is to protect us from people who would use force against us. Now, brings us to the question about Israel's government. What is Israel's government for? What should it do? What should it do in the context of the Palestinians? And is it doing things that are right? And my answer is no. It is doing some things that are right, but for the most part, it is doing things that are wrong, but not what you hear in mainstream media is wrong with Israel. So, James, that is not as long as a rant as I have, because I didn't go to what the actual criticism of Israel should be, but I will leave that to you, and then we can criticize each other's criticism if need be.
Well, let's just take one of what I would regard exactly. We talk about Israel's war crimes. I would not take them to an international court of justice. No, they are acting not egoistically, unselfishly. That's their war crime, altruism. Let me give you one vivid example. To allow one Israeli soldier to die so that we spare a civilian casualty on the enemy side is sheer self-sacrifice. The government's job is to protect its people, the people within its jurisdiction, from the initiation of force, as Ayn Rand explains in that article. It is not to protect people who are part of an attacking group. It's not even to protect people outside of the border. That's the difference with war and law enforcement. And that is why it is wrong, morally wrong, to sacrifice, self-immolate, kill one of your own, in effect, to protect someone that Hamas has killed in this case, someone that Hamas has endangered. It is morally wrong to protect Hamas from the consequences of its behavior at our own expense, at our own deadly expense. This is the height of self-immolation, self-sacrifice, altruism. You can see it playing out in the hostage negotiations and deals that both Israeli government and American government is engaged in. You can see it. One of my favorite examples, the way America altruistically does wars, has been the same. We would rather have our soldiers die than have collateral damages. Because you see, George W. Bush, during the Iraq and Afghanistan war, said we were winning the war for hearts and minds. Were we? No. Appeasement like that does not. The thought is, from this compassionate conservative, is what he called himself, was that somehow if we take it and we suffer and we martyr ourselves and sacrifice ourselves, they'll see just how wonderful our motives are. And if we don't bomb mosques and hospitals, we'll show them just how compassionate and benevolent we are. That has not done anything. It will do the opposite. It will convince them of our decadence and our weakness. But most fundamentally, it is a betrayal of the government's obligation to its own people to protect its rights. And when the citizens of its country get their rights violated, they cannot consider the civilian casualties. I mean, sure, all other things being equal, you don't just kill civilians. However, if there is a military purpose for it, you cannot let collateral damage or civilian deaths stop you. That is what would be immoral. That is what is a violation of the function of government. It is not the function of government to win hearts and minds of cultures that are hostile. Cultures that are hostile. No.
Yeah.
Israel's fundamental war crime, if I can speak abstractly, very much like America's war crimes in the way it does wars in the 21st century, altruism, allowing its people to die rather than letting the enemy suffer the consequences of their people dying.
Yeah,
Madness.
By the way, when we say war crimes, yeah, the international courts and the international law experts would not agree with us, but we are talking about crimes, but certainly moral crimes that Israel is committing, and maybe some that if you read the law to the letter in Israel about, you know, treason and stuff like that, I would think. But this is not a legal case. Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Amit mentions in the chat we used for the thumbnail, we used a house that was bombed in by Hezbollah in Kiryat Shmona in the north of Israel. Amit mentions, now I'm a terrible reader of emojis, so I don't know 100% if you were serious, but if you are, let me put it this way, this is certainly closer to verified than any of the numbers that we get from you know, from the Gaza Health Ministry, and which we're gonna, some of which we're gonna discuss in the next show. If you are, first of all, I'm sorry that that happened, and glad that you're not there. But that is a big part of the crime. The fact that, you know, the citizens of Israel in the north and around Gaza, hundreds of thousands, have been displaced, can't go back home for reasons that are, you know, the problem is solvable. Israel has the ability to you know, solve that problem militarily. It doesn't do so, and it didn't. And again, it had the ability to do that on October 6th, on October 7th, on October 8th, diplomatically, and in terms of the international response. It is now much more difficult to do. But again, you know, when Israel doesn't act, it doesn't act when it can. It is choosing the lives of its enemies over the lives of its civilians and soldiers because of what the world would say. And just a general point about wars: you should never want a war. You don't want it before it happens. You don't want it while it's happening. Nobody in Israel wants this to happen. And if you don't want it, the way to make it not be, the way to make yourself not in a war, is to win it as quickly and decisively as possible, which again,
exactly,
militarily, Israel can do.
I'll go further. The most compassionate thing we can do for both sides is to end it quickly and decisively. Hamas should have been destroyed back in October. How many months are we dragging this on? How many months do we have to have declining international support? I mean, collapsing international support, what there was, collapsing international support, plus extending this. If there is suffering in Gaza, all we're doing is extending the suffering. And in fact, we're not really getting to the root of the problem by psychologically telling them they've got to stop or they will suffer. If Gaza had been reduced to rubble in a matter of days, if Hamas had been utterly destroyed back in October, we would not be suffering this extended, both sides. Now, consider the apartment building that the chatter is talking about here. Preemptive strikes in Lebanon should have been occurring. All of that capacity, I know they have a much greater capacity, much more sophisticated missiles and better missiles, and more of them, Hezbollah in the north. But that's the very reason. That's the very reason why a preemptive strike should have been done. We know where they stood, and now we know they were coordinating with Hamas before October 7th. So, yeah, I'm not blaming directly that apartment building on Israel. Obviously, it was Hezbollah that caused it. But in the longer perspective, isn't it Israel and isn't it the West's approach to doing wars that actually makes those things more common, more prevalent, and going on and on and on endlessly into the future?
Yeah, I mean, we can look at the West's approach, you know, in World War II versus the West's approach after 9/11. In World War II, the approach was destroy the military and civilian infrastructures in Germany and Japan, and look at Germany and Japan now. After 9/11, the approach was get a coalition to agree to basically vote on which country we should go after, what is the easiest, both militarily and diplomatically, which was Afghanistan. Then start that war by dropping food and medicine on them. And yada yada yada, 20 years later, the
Can the
same savages
outside,
are back in power.
exactly, can the power that's engaged in self-defense know whether, let's take a 9-year-old child, let's take the most, the poster child for innocent civilians here. 9-year-old children can be used to shoot guns. 9-year-old children can be used to transport supplies. 9-year-old children can be used as spies and reconnaissance. They are used, by the way. We can't know outside of Gaza who those 9-year-old children are. So what we're doing is we're saying, since we don't know, we'll give the other civilians the benefit of the doubt. We're outside here, and indeed, our people will die. Rather than have these people, many of whom are actually parts of the Hamas war machine. See, with the Nazis and with Japan, we understood that whether it's by their consent or against their consent, they are all tools of the German war machine. They're all tools of the Japanese war machine. And we have to regard all Palestinians today as part of Hamas's war machine. Now, that is Hamas's doing, and we have to be very clear about the fact that it is Hamas's doing. They are the ones killing their own civilians. In fact, they're doing it intentionally and strategically in this case, which makes it all the clearer. We have to bomb hospitals. We have to bomb schools. If I could tell George W. Bush, who was saying, no, we can't bomb mosques, gosh, we just get blowback. Blowback? No. You could talk about upside down, talk about inverted moral priorities. No, we have to show them that we're willing to do anything. And only when we have that decisive showing them we're willing to do anything, do we have a chance of getting them to change their behavior. They're not going to be won over by our compassion, or they will perceive that as weak, decadent weakness on our
Yeah.
part.
Thank you, Buster Jones, for the super chat, and thank you, Bonnie, for the super chat. Yeah, Mugiwara says here that where is this? Anyway, that the numbers, the numbers of dead, according to recent reports, were something like 18,000, according to more reliable reports. But again, there's it's only so much you can know about what goes on in a war, and something like 13,000 of them are terrorists. But yeah, when the irony of the West's approach, today's approach, is that more children will die because we are telling Hamas to hide behind children. We are telling them that these images work on getting the West to pressure Israel not to do things, and Israel doesn't need to be pressured because it already has this policy, which is the reason for this episode.
Exactly.
Israel's policy without the West telling it to go out of its way. And what does going out of your way to avoid killing civilians means? It means necessarily putting your soldiers at a risk that they wouldn't be at if you said, we're going to kill the terrorist no matter who he's hiding behind, no matter where he's hiding, if it's a hospital, if it's a school. This is the right thing to do. And again, this is what the West ideally should be telling Israel, in which case there would be less of an incentive for Hamas to hide behind kids.
We do the same with the hostage deals. Every hostage deal Israel does with these terrorists, every hostage deal America does with Iran, only encourages it. And I can't. I'm not prescient. I do not know the future. I'm not psychic. But I can almost guarantee you that by rewarding it and continuously rewarding with these hostage deals, you'll get more hostages taken. You'll get more hostages taken. If we don't attack mosques and hospitals and schools when they intentionally use them, then what we're doing is we're encouraging more violence and telling them that we won't do what it takes, whatever it takes. Until and unless the bad guys see that we're willing to do whatever it takes, we're not going to be play their game. They caused this by using hospitals, schools, and mosques, and we will do what it takes. Do we ever stand a chance of deterring this kind of behavior?
Yeah, by the way, the point about hostages is not some theory that has yet to be seen, put into practice. It's something Israel has done for a long time, something Netanyahu took to the next level with the Gilad Shalit deal, where over 1,000 terrorists were released, and Gilad Shalit came back. And this was the reason why, we've talked about how on October 7th, how the goal of the Palestinian people, not just Hamas, this is what the nation, the Palestinian nation, so-called nation, exists for, is to kill as many Jews as possible. On October 7th, they had their best opportunity yet, and they took advantage of it, but they still brought over 200 hostages back, which is something that, again, that the death toll would have been much higher, not just higher by 250, but higher by a lot more if they had just gone in and killed as many. So why do they take those hostages? Because Israel has told them in the past, in with Israel's actions, if you take hostages, that'll work well for you, because any terrorist that we arrest, is not going to serve their full sentence. If you take hostages, they're going to come back. They're going to be able to do what they did again and again, as Hamas has promised again and again, until Israel is annihilated. And Israel is doing what they did before again and again. Israel is literally following Hamas's playbook to the letter.
To the letter. We are all useful idiots to the extent that we buy into this. Civilian casualties are a war crime or a genocide or anything like that. They are not. They are not. It's insane. let's see. The worst, perhaps symbolically, just symbolically, we've spoken about these horrible war crimes, moral war crimes, obviously, letting its own soldiers die rather than civilians, or doing these hostage negotiations, or letting Gaza survive as long as it has. I mean, how many months are we into this? This should have been done way back, completed, wrapped up in October. Why are we still here at all? No, but symbolically, perhaps the war crime, moral war crime that Israel most disgusts me with is in even it offering a defense in the International Court of Justice. They should have said, this is an illegitimate organization. This is outrageous. These are lies. This is pure Hamas propaganda. We will not even issue, get, offer defense. This entire thing is corrupt. It is morally invalid from the start. By even offering a defense, by even sanctioning it to that degree, it gives people, and I've been on debates and now on social media, where people will throw in my face, oh, well, the ICJ has made preliminary findings that suggest Israel may be, in fact, doing genocide. Okay, so they have the imprimatur of the UN or the International Court of Justice saying this. So what? And what you do is you empower it, Mr. Netanyahu, just by offering a defense. I know that the UN recognized Israel in the late 1940s and helped it come into being. I do know that. I know that the UN has betrayed its promise to Israel and its creation, because when it's attacked, right, the whole world basically jumps against Israel. But whatever the role the UN had in the creation of Israel, Israel has got to denounce the United Nations fully. I can understand why they might have an observer presence there to see what their enemies are up to, but giving any moral sanction, any moral legitimacy to the UN is suicidal on Israel's part, and frankly, on America's part. America and Israel have got to get out of the UN and have got to morally denounce it as the corruption that it is. I mean, the Saudis are now in charge of the Women's Rights Council of the UN. I mean, just like Iran being on the Human Rights Council. I mean, it's a joke, right?
And
It's a
you
joke.
mentioned the International Court of Justice. Of course, that was brought forth by South Africa, which is ruled by the African National Congress. You spoke about South Africa yesterday on the Daily Objective
Oh,
with
check
Chris
that out.
Hansen.
Really, we had a really good guest from South Africa yesterday.
South, of course, the ANC, basically financed by the Iranian government, and Western leftists are telling us this is who. This is who we need to listen to when it comes to justice. There's that. That's one of the moments for me, the symbolic moments of Israel's moral capitulation. Another one is that press conference of an IDF spokesperson showing images that prove that Shifa Hospital is being used as Hamas's headquarters, something we've known for many, many years. Israel has known. The press conference is the basically the goal of it is what? To convince the people who already hate Israel. The fact that it is an IDF spokesperson means there is nothing that you can say that they're going to believe unless the IDF spokesperson says Israel is committing genocide. That's basically your only option. And but why are you doing a press conference if you know where the headquarters of the people who committed the atrocities on October 7th are? Why are you not bombing it to smithereens? Why is it still
Why
there?
is there a molecule of it still in existence? Yeah. Oh man, did you just nail something really, really, really hard there? I mean, it's morally upside down. It's the pervert moral perversion of altruism, and it is the complete moral skepticism, relativism, insecurity on the part of the West that it can't straightforwardly declare, look, all of those people are your fault. We've said this 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways, but even a symbolic sanction has got to put glee into their hearts. You know, on October 7th, there were situations where there were witnesses, where they did film themselves, but the forensic evidence shows that there were places where basically everyone was killed and that they were enjoying themselves as they were killing people. Now, I want you to think about the psychology of Palestinians in this sense. Even if word of this atrocity doesn't get out, we're enjoying it. Do you really think you're going to win over the hearts and minds of folks like that by showing how compassionate we are, by sparing civilian lives? By no. The only way you're going to get through to these people is by psychologically crushing them with overwhelming force, with 100 times the force they hit you with, which is the right of a self-defense, a reasonable self-defense.
And remember, Hamas did film and live stream on Facebook so much of what they were doing on that day, including the murder and the taking of hostages. And there were people on that day out in the streets protesting, celebrating the mass murder of Jews. These are the people you want to convince to be on your side. I mean, it's kind of baffling that Israel is a country that was formed on the ashes of people slaughtered in the Holocaust and is now apologizing for what little it does to prevent it from happening again, while actually making the side that is trying to do it again more and more capable of getting there. And we're gonna talk in the reality show a bit more about the lie about their being a famine in Gaza and exactly how that lie is being pushed forward. But the fact of the matter is, a big crime by Israel now is the feeding of its enemy at a time of war. The fact that Israel allows so much any humanitarian aid, but this incredible amount of aid, there is no, by the way, I fall into the trap of calling it humanitarian aid. There is no humanitarian aid. It's military aid. If you're giving
Yes.
food to your enemy while they're trying to kill you, that is military aid.
Beating your enemy while they're lobbing rockets at you, while they're planning the next attack against you. You're feeding them. Oh, want to make sure do you have enough doctors and nurses there? What are your conditions in the maternity wards? Can we get you some food? Make sure the water's, is the water clean enough for you? Oh, okay. You really honestly think that that is going to impress them with our compassion? No. No, these savages are not going to, they're going to take it as the decadent weakness of the West, as they always do, laugh as we do it, as they should. It's laughable. Our suicidal behavior is laughable. And of course, they properly laugh at us. This is the upshot of altruism, ladies and gentlemen. The real war crime in the way Israel and America has been doing wars in the 21st century is altruism. Our willingness to die, the good guys to die, so that their civilians, who they put at deadly risk, don't die, as if that will change hearts and minds. That is insane. Insane. What you have to do is the equivalent of what we did with Japan. We had a great episode about Japan the other day, too. What we did with Japan at the end of World War II. Look, the bloody conquest of Okinawa wasn't enough to impress Japan to surrender. They were going to suicidally go down with the ship. No, it didn't take one, but two atomic bombs before we got it through to them. But guess what? If that's the steps you need to take, and at the end of the day, guess what? You're going to save both American and Japanese lives. There would have been, the estimates are, there would have been many more casualties with a conventional assault. Can you imagine street-to-street fighting in Tokyo? That would have made Okinawa look like a garden party. And so the best thing you can do, the most compassionate, and I will say the most compassionate thing you can do, is to overwhelm your enemy just as quickly as possible and end it. Force, psychologically crush them and force them to surrender unconditionally. That's the only way you're going to get through, or even start to get through to these bad guys.
Yeah. America dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima, then on Nagasaki. Would have dropped more had Japan not been ready to surrender. And that would have been a good approach by Israel. First of all, Israel shouldn't should have done something similar to Gaza with conventional weapons only because the fallout would end up killing Israelis. And then said to people in the West Bank. This is when I hear people say, well, Hamas can end it with unconditional surrender. That's true. Israel, if Hamas surrenders unconditionally and releases the hostages, the war will be over. But I don't think it should. I don't think that's the right approach from Israel. I think October 7th happened and now things need to change. A surrender is not enough.
Right,
But what I would
right.
accept
No,
maybe
we need an
is
occupy. We need a true occupation of Gaza now. The
yeah.
anyone talking Tuesday solution is mad after October 7th. They were mad 20 years ago, but they're
Yeah.
mad. They're completely crazed after October 7th that they're proposing a two-state solution.
Yeah,
No, this.
what I would accept now is Gaza being experiencing what Hiroshima and Nagasaki experienced, and then the West Bank, people in the West Bank surrendering unconditionally, because unfortunately Israel will have to go on a military operation similar to what it's doing in Gaza, in the West Bank, and it'll do that unfortunately after the next October 7th
Haven't
comes
we
from the
teed that
West
up?
Bank.
Haven't we teed that up with how Israel has done so far? I mean, we've almost necessitated it, haven't we? We've necessitated it. Rather than, as you say, well, see, if within 24 hours Gaza City had been leveled, that would have been the most compassionate thing Israel could have done. But no, they didn't do anything for weeks. For weeks, but you'll notice those the jerks out there in the world, these monsters out there in the world, were already calling for peace on October 7th and 8th. Oh, both sides need to show restraint. Oh, after you mutilated, tortured, and killed innocent civilians, burned children to death, raped children to death. Okay, both sides need to, all of those evil voices out there. It is true, many of them were pro-Hamas and just want Israel destroyed. Some of them are just soft-minded, idiotic altruists, and that's really the enemy here. And both Israel and America, the way they fight wars, necessitates more wars. It never changes hearts and minds. It's never going to impress the world. We're never going to win that altruistic PR battle. We should never even try.
Thank you, Stephen, for the super chat. Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Robert says, an extraordinary feature of recent film Godzilla Minus One was the Japanese civilians who understood viscerally that they lost World War II, and rightly so. Yeah, just like Palestinian civilians today understand that they won this war because Israel has given them victory. Now, we talked here and we talk often about the values, the upside down values in the West that lead to this. There is, of course, the facts that are bullshit that come out of Gaza, and we've made a point in recent days, and we're going to do this again, of going through just how it is bullshit. And don't let people get away with lying about the facts, although the problem ultimately is that their values are such that if these facts were correct, it would not be a bad thing.
Exactly. But just to tee this up, I have been told that, of course, October 7th was a giant false flag operation to justify Israel going in. And I have been told that strategic famine and starvation was always Israel's plan. This is the kind of anti-Semitic, anti-Israel lunacy that is out there. Just to tee this up, they believe that this non-existent famine was part of Israel's plan all along. Don't you know? Don't you know? That's the kind of madness we're dealing with out there.
So the reality show starts about a minute after this show ends. We are going to talk about we're going to go through an article talking about this supposed famine and show you the extent of the bullshit. Thank you, James. We will be back with the daily objective tomorrow. And of course, stay tuned for the reality show.